This is Wade Rathke, and you're listening to Wade's World, a Voice of the People program. Welcome to the east side of town so that we can talk about how the other half lives and what life is like here living in Wade's World. Whether that's the east side of Little Rock, Greenville, or New Orleans, or on Acorn Radio in Nairobi, Bengaluru, Bristol, or Bombay. Points north and south, east and west, we're either rebroadcast or live streamed at kabf.org and acornradio.org. A podcast will be available of this show on these websites and affiliatedmediamovement.org. You know the story on Wade's World. We talk to the most interesting people in the world, and today, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we're talking to Brother Rice Bay in the Imani neighborhood, and he is the elected president of the Imani United organization. Welcome to Wade's World, Brother Rice Bay.
Good day, Wade, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. We've been getting to know each other in recent months, and we got more to go. First, tell us a little bit about Imani and what Imani United is and how long you've been president. Just give us some of the bare brass tacks here.
Okay. Well, Imani is a word that stands for peace, and Imani United is a neighborhood of dedicated residents who are trying to get back to the love and the foundation again. So it was resident-led, resident-driven, kind of like the first of its kind of like in Milwaukee. So uphill battle, but it's fun.
And what's this neighborhood like? You've been living here a while?
Yeah, I've been living here 46 years.
Well, that's a while. We'll call that a while.
That's
so
a while.
We're not in the richest district in Milwaukee, are we?
No. We are actually, we are in the 53206 area, a zip code, which is, quote unquote, around America, the worst zip code to live in.
Wow, okay. That's something.
Yeah.
I don't know about being proud of it, but that's something to be known for.
It's something to be known
for. Why
is
it the worst zip code in America?
They say it's the highest incarceration rate in the United States.
Wow, okay.
And the world see that, but Imani, the neighborhood itself don't see that. But we see how the world looking at us, and it's like, it's time for us to change the narrative. That's it.
You know. This is not a rich neighborhood. It's about, 98% African-American. It's pretty low income.
Very low income. Basically like your average underprivileged city in the United States.
Right.
We're no different from the inner city in Chicago, Detroit. We got the same type of problems. Probably a little bit worse, I say, because Milwaukee's not really that big as those other towns. You know, it's not big, but it's not small either. So it's like, it's weird. It's kind of weird when you look at it from that perspective.
So I want to talk more about Imani United, but you mentioned living here for 46 years. What kind of changes have you seen in this community, this zip code,
well,
46 years?
Let's go back when, you know, this neighborhood was a neighborhood that had a lot of industry in it. You know, for those that don't know, we had, right in the heart of it, we had A.O. Smith. Major manufacturer.
Huge
manufacturer.
You can't drive through rural Arkansas and not see big silos that still have A.O. Smith on them.
So you know that at that point in time when they was here, this was a very vibrant neighborhood. Up to a lot of homeowners. You know, it was one point in time you can keep the door open all summer, but you didn't have to worry about all that. You know, because you've seen it was a steady growth of economics. You know, and of course, that was before drugs and all that came in, but Imani.
And when was that, the 80s, 70s,
80s,
huh?
And Milwaukee is kind of slow, so we kind of, like the crack academic hit us late 80s, early 90s, because I kind of went to penitentiary in 1992. Before I left, it was just kind of cocaine, then it came back, it was crack, so it was like...
Different world.
It was totally different.
And when we're talking about this high incarceration rate in the zip code, are we talking about drug-based?
We're talking about heavily drug-based.
Heavily drug-based. So this isn't Chicago with a lot of gangbangers. This is mainly people who got caught on the other side of the drug epidemics?
Correct. It's not an organized town like a lot of those other big towns, so...
Hey. This is not a small city.
No, it's not a small one. It's not a big one, but... It's enough.
It's more than enough.
It's more than enough, you know, so uniqueness there.
So how long have you been involved in Imani United?
Well, I've been involved with Imani United. I started getting involved with them at the end of last year. I didn't know anything about, you know, I didn't even know about the structure. I just heard about it because I was actually doing some volunteer work myself on trying to bring some good things to the community. And then, wow, Imani. And I'm like, what? We have a neighborhood association? I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Well,
I checked that out.
Let me go see what's going on. And just so happened it was kind of at the end of the year. Next thing you know, a presidency, basically the re-elections for it popped up. And I'm like, whoa, what do we have here? So I said, let me go in. Let me see.
So you were just fresh into it, and all of a sudden you wake up and you're president.
I'm president.
Is that what you're telling me?
Basically, yeah. I was like, I signed up for it. I said, well, let me see. I don't, you know, sometimes you don't, in order to make change, and if you know somewhere you can make change, you got to go in and really see. So I just went in to see.
So now you've been involved as president almost 6 months. Is that right?
Almost 6 months, yeah.
And what's the most important things you think you're trying to get done now?
The number one thing is resident participation. The more, if I can get a lot of people to buy into that neighborhood again, everything else will start working itself out, especially you got enough hands to make the work. So that's one of the main things I'm looking forward to.
Gotcha. And are you getting a lot of support?
Oh, yeah. It's like the first time Imani has its own official board. We have a lot of faithful ones who've been around way before I got here, and they still here, and now they seeing that what they was looking for the whole time. So they seeing the change.
Recently, I know Imani United has been involved in some pretty big issues here in the community.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about this Route 80, because I think that's some good news that I heard as soon as I walked in the door.
Yeah, well, thanks to Dominican Center and yourself, we was trained to kind of just fight a little bit. So a main bus line for this neighborhood, an artery to this neighborhood, somebody tried to come up at our doorstep at the last minute and try to take it away from us.
And the somebody was the bus company.
And the somebody was the bus company. And we got out in real fast. Mass emails and whatever through the and hey, they changed their tune fast.
But y'all had a big meeting, community meeting, where you had them come into the neighborhood. Tell me about that, because I heard that was great.
That was the first time that happened. Yeah, we kind of called a bluff at a meeting because they thought we was unprepared. And
Who did they send? Was it a planner? Was it somebody who was somebody?
They sent down a full squad. They sent about, you know, people with the drawings, the whole nine. They came out with the bells and whistles, gave away prizes, but it didn't sway our passion for keeping that bus line. It didn't sway our passion. We followed through from that meeting. We went down to the bus meeting that they had and voiced our opinion some more. So hey.
And what did you ask? Did you want them to do something special about the route, or?
One special thing we wanted to where it was transparency on the board, to where we could have workers, residents, and riders actually be on sitting on that board, so we can have transparent decisions.
So we don't have the problem in the future.
So we don't have that problem in the future.
Because what they were talking about is what happens in a lot of cities was either rerouting the bus route or eliminating stops, and you got news. Today that, or maybe within the last day or so, that they've now rolled that plan back and aren't gonna.
And then they're now going
total victory.
Total victory. But it's still a fight because we know this may happen in other neighborhoods. So our job is to galvanize other neighborhoods so it don't even happen to them.
And that's why you're talking about they should change their governance.
Change it.
Did you have any help, any allies on this campaign?
Oh yeah, we had the. That Amalgamated Transit Union. We had MICA.
The Bus Drivers Union.
Right. Yeah, well, we had MICA.
Another community organization.
We had an NAACP head. He was assisting.
That was a good experience then, and a victory as well.
Yeah, good learning experience for the team.
We're talking to Brother Rice Bay, who's the president of Imani United here in Milwaukee. It's an emerging community-based organization in a very difficult zip code and area. Mm. A lot of issues around housing, a lot of issues around development, and yet we hear there's somebody talking about a huge $36 million development right on the outskirts of Imani. What's the story there?
Well, the story there is, it's actually a good story, and it can actually end good, too. Got a developer trying to, you know, restore the neighborhood, which is a good thing. But we just want to make sure that the neighborhood that hasn't had a voice in things have a voice in it now. And we experienced a few little hitches in there, you know, some broken promises that was just verbal. But now we know that verbal don't count. We want it in black and white. So that way they know we for real and they know we is, so vice versa.
So what you're really talking about is this particular, and developers are all the same. They spend castles in the air. It's all going to be, you know, heaven on earth in some part of the neighborhood. But he also needed the city to guarantee about a $4 million loan or something.
And correct.
That was part of the leverage he needed. And at the planning commission, he said what?
He said that
he'd sit down with y'all.
He said down with us, and we already had these, you know, we had discussions, but we did have a discussion, but we didn't have proper communication. So there's a difference there. We had discussion, but the communicated properly. No, that wasn't there.
Because what y'all wanted was some kind of community, to have a real discussion about what the community benefits were, those community benefit agreements, because those are very, more and more communities around the country, big cities, small cities, are asking, if you want special concessions and you're going to come into our neighborhoods, we need to know what we're going to get from it other than gentrification and whatever.
Correct.
And at the Planning Commission, from what I understand, he told you then, yeah, I'll sit down with you. But before that meeting and after, he was pretty rough stuff. He tried to, you told me, he tried to bluff you pretty hard.
Oh, yeah, he tried to give a good bluff, you know, the old street bluff. Like, you can't bluff somebody who knows how to bluff, too, so... We just understand that this business and it's politics, so okay, let's handle it as such.
Gotcha. So that's, you mentioned street bluff. Now, a couple of times when we've been doing these meetings, you've said, you know, Wade, this reminds me of back in the day when I was doing X, Y, and Z on the other side of the line. And how does that experience, you mentioned you'd been in the penitentiary, you did a little time on the streets yourself. Let's be honest with people.
Yeah, you know, I'm part of the product of 53206, so I know both worlds.
But some of what's interesting to me is you bring up when we're talking about some of these campaigns, you know, that's like when we used to do so-and-so, when somebody tried to take your turf or whatever.
Right. Well, I just look at life to where you can break it down and eat it from a language that I'm familiar with, because sometimes you use big words. But no, if I use it in simple terms, because... Ain't nothing new up under the sun. A liar is a liar. We just might call it something different. You know, don't piss in my face and tell me it's raining. That's universal language.
We know Everybody knows that experience.
Right.
Yeah.
We know how you didn't put makeup on the duck. You take the makeup off.
Lipstick
on the pig.
That's what they say in Arkansas.
Or put a wig on the pig and same thing. Like, hey.
That's right.
So
there's a lot of things you can do. But that sort of experience on the street, obviously you did your time, you paid for whatever it was in the past, but that speaks to some of what we need to learn in our negotiating and representation skills too, doesn't it? A lot of people, when you were saying this developer thinks he's going to front off and blow smoke at you.
Right.
You know, you got to have something more than that, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, now when you know you got the power of the people and you can't get mad at me, and especially if I'm coming with justice, hey, do what you think you want to do, but no. The people will be heard. The people will be heard.
It's not easy, though.
Oh, it's not easy, but ain't nothing easy. You know, ain't nothing easy right now, but I'd rather fight than not fight.
If you fight, you have a chance of winning.
You got to fight, you got a chance.
If you don't fight, you know you're going to lose.
So, hey.
That's exactly right. We're talking to Brother Rice Bay, who's the president of Imani United, about some of his experiences and some of what they're going through. Now, one of the big things I know Imani United has been talking about is next year, big time. In some ways, this Icon Hotel development is a good practice for the main event, you might say.
Yeah,
so the main event, what's happening in July of 2020 here?
Well, we have the Democratic National Convention. And...
In
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we won't in. And we won't in. We won't. We know y'all gonna come with a lot of promises. So if we put out enough of them, a few of them might get answered.
For all you say, that not only was this maybe the highest rate of incarceration for any zip code, but if you look at the census, when in 2008, something like 98% of the eligible voters in Imani came out to vote and voted for Barack Obama. So when people say, oh, you know, these low-income precincts, they don't vote. No. When they have something they care about, people really come out in Imani and pull that lever and let people know what they think.
Correct.
So are you looking at these candidates yet? Because they're all going to be prancing through Imani soon.
Oh, yeah, we got eyes on them. We got eyes on them. And we got like a nice little secret squirrel right next to a few of them, too. So, hey.
What's a secret squirrel, huh?
Well, you know, we got the ace in the hole. We got, you know, we got a colleague amongst colleagues and keep us abreast on some things. So I love the Imani team because we're so versatile, and what we bring to the table is like magnificent. I like it.
So some people here are working in the state legislature. Some people are connected to city council. I mean, that's true in every neighborhood if you keep talking about what people's relationships are.
Correct.
But is something like, does the Trump administration have an impact now? I know there was a big election recently in Wisconsin. You have a new governor, Scott Walker, who run a fairly tight program, anti-welfare, pro-crime. Right. Big giveaways to business. Is it any different now? I know you've got a new governor. He's brand new. Maybe you can't tell.
Well, we can't tell yet, but we still feeling the effects of a lot of stuff. We starting to, you can, if you pay attention to the community, you see it. You see it. Slowly but surely, you see things. It's starting to go further and further down a little bit.
Tell me about lead pipes.
Ah.
Because that's, Imani is also leading in a bad way in that area. Lead and water, we hear about Flint, Michigan, but actually Flint, Michigan is sort of a light thing compared to Imani.
Yeah, because actually we haven't lead, a problem with lead in the water, the soil, and in the paint. A lot of these houses in Imani still have the old paint on them, the old windows. So it's like a neighborhood that needs a total upgrade. And then the main thing, you in your soil, and that right there is bad, because can your children actually play in their backyard? So we got a lot of concerns over here, and we got a lot of work to do, but we up for it.
They did some lead testing, and what do they call those things that run, the pipes that run from the street?
The lead laterals.
Laterals.
The lead laterals here, and
they call them whips or something like that in Louisiana, but it's that piping that sometimes it's unclear if the resident responsible or the the water department. It really is probably the city and state.
But yeah, they're trying to duck and dodge on that too. They have to replace all of them, but they don't want to put the infrastructure in place to make it happen. So they got something, I think, for the next 70 years they're trying to get it done. I think so far they probably got 1,800 out of probably ain't no how many houses, like
in all of Milwaukee.
So it's uphill, but you got a lot of coalitions here, FLAC and Cole, that we partnering with Cole to just make sure our voice is heard, and eventually something got to give.
One of the unique parts of the problem, from what y'all have explained to me, is they actually mined lead in Wisconsin, and for a while, because they had lead mines in Wisconsin, by law you had to put the pipes in lead. So it goes back quite a time. There's more lead pipes here probably than anywhere, so of course the problems are more intense.
A lot more intense. So, but as you can say, like you said, it's not like Detroit. It's kind of on the hush.
Yeah.
But it's actually, this epidemic is probably worse than that. It's worse because, we're a smaller population, with more people happening versus Detroit, is actually where's the problem here.
Yeah. And when they tested, Imani had the worst results of any in terms of lead. I mean, it was like they were way up in the top and then halfway down before you got to the next neighborhood that was as bad. But that doesn't mean when they're trying to replace these pipes, is Imani the top priority for them to replace, or we can't even tell, can we?
We can't even tell. We can't tell because they still keep a lot of stuff hush-hush, you know. But that's what we're here to do. We're here to flush all that out.
But that also affects housing and renters and housing values, and that's mm-hmm. been a big campaign for Imani United as well, is how to get housing
correct.
Rehabilitated. Where does that stand?
Well, that's standing at actually a good point. We actually got a bunch of the community partners in. We got a Rock the Block celebration coming up again. It was postponed last month, but it's coming up, I believe, on the 18th of May, to where the whole block is kind of finna get revitalized. So we have a plan in place to where, you know, we got 132 blocks, so we try to take care of at least one a year or two a year. And we have several other different programs in place for Imani residents to buy back into the neighborhood or get people from outside the neighborhood to buy in through several different programs.
But right now, most of the neighborhood are renters.
Yeah, the majority of the neighborhood is renters. And in order for you to have a sustainable community, you really want people to buy in. So we want people to be homeowners.
Or at least guarantee that there's affordable rent and long-term mm-hmm. tenants, huh?
Correct.
Brother Rice Bay, I mean, you've told me that part of what motivates you now is a different way of looking at spiritual matters.
Yeah. Like most of the world, when we just look at quote-unquote religions, it gives us an understanding, but not what we're really looking for. So I just found out one of the great ancient sayings is, man, know thyself. So all this time I thought I knew myself, and I didn't. So without a divine history like everybody else have, you still in limbo. And come to find out that the Negro, Black, Colored, / African American has been mislabeled, and their original identity is the Moorish American. And by me knowing this, I started now to understand what was been going on, and instead of me being against the law, I actually now became a law-abiding citizen. Because now there isn't no excuse. Now I know that, oh, it was just a trick for me not to love myself enough to keep on harming myself and my community, when if I just love myself, I'm at home, and I don't have to worry about anything else happening to me, because now I'm a law-abiding citizen. I'm not outside of the constitutional fold of government. So it was simple.
And the Moorish... Moor was Spanish and Islamic.
Correct.
Obviously, that was a big thing in the Crusades, where mm-hmm. they were coming down to, you know, the Knights of the Round Table and all that. I mean, that's probably what most people know when you say Moors.
Right.
And that's part of how you sort of recast yourself within that tradition, huh?
Correct. I recast myself and... It's always a work in progress. So I'm practicing again. I'm practicing on how to know me and respect everything around me, and just look at it like, if we all children of that energy that they call God, well, it's my responsibility to make sure I take care of treat my brother like my brother, treat my sister like my sister, and treat the earth like it's my mother. And we kind of got away from that as a people. And now we're relying on man-made stuff, and we wonder where all the stuff is coming from. It's us who forgot.
And has that helped you in terms of recasting your place in the community?
Yeah, because when they see Rice Bay, they see Rice Bay out here actually doing something. It's all about the deeds. And that's the only thing. In order to change the community, you have to start with yourself. I can't tell you to clean up your neighborhood and you don't even see me cleaning up mine. So it's some of the simple things, that's all. Just practice the simple things again.
But there can't be many people out here wearing a fez in Imani neighborhood.
Nah, I think I'm the only one walking around with the fez on in Imani. So it's like,
or maybe even in the city of Milwaukee.
Well, you have a few of them around. I don't, okay. You know, you got a few of them running around out. But I just, you know, I have a duty, and my duty is to be a man again. Stop complaining and saying somebody else did something to you. No, you have an opportunity to change everything from this day forward.
So thinking of this day forward, looking over the next year or so, I don't even know how long your term is as president of Imani.
Two years.
So what are you hoping to see during your term? I know we've done a lot of work over the last, well, certainly throughout this year.
Yeah.
I come here every month and visit with you. We've got this session, two more at least, and
right.
Who knows after that. But what are you hoping, as you see a year from now, what are you hoping Imani can say for at the record? Obviously, you got a big victory here with the Bus 80, but what else?
Well, Imani has a revitalization plan. So And parts of the revitalization plan.
That's a good thing for us to talk about, yeah.
The parts of the revitalization plan are neighborhood safety, housing, economics, and development, education, and family well-being. So that encompasses basically bringing a healthy mind, healthy body back to Imani. So I would like to see a lot of this stuff implemented, which is already in place now. One of the main things is the safety. Because if you have a neighborhood that feels safe again, it will want to actually come out and do the things to help adults uplift the next for its own self. So it's just some little simple things. And like I said in the beginning, like
more resident participation. You have committees on all those things. Oh, yeah. How does the structure of Imani United tackle that kind of development?
Well, this is, well, to break it down, we have four committees. We have First Saturday Chair, Safety Team, a Housing and Economic Team, a Friends of Moody Park, and the Education and Family Wellbeing. Actually, that's five chairs. And how it comes is, say, for instance, you're a resident. You may have a housing issue. You may want to be looking for a house. So you come. We have a complaint slip. You come. You give that to the Housing and Economics. And they will link up with a community partner or whoever they need to make sure that need is met. So now it's not somebody just shoving a piece of paper in your face. Our job is to walk you along right with that community partner so we can see results. No more Band-Aid program type thing. So it's like we flushing out a lot of things when it comes to that. And the structure is each chair person is there like their own general. It's for them to go and figure out how can they bring something back to their neighborhood, because it's our ideas that we're supposed to implement into our neighborhood. So it's like they have the freedom to how you want your neighborhood to look. You put you back into the neighborhood. So that's basically the structure.
And what happens at these first Saturday meetings? That's your regular monthly meeting?
That's our regular monthly meetings for residents only, to where we can, you know, get to know each other again and hash out some things on how we want to see the structure and everything go. So those turn out real good.
I know I went to one meeting, not this month, but last month, and there was one woman who didn't want to just fill out a complaint form, did she? She wanted I don't know what exactly she wanted, but she wanted us to talk about her issue all the time, the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's obviously a process getting people to, you know, work within this sort of committee structure as well.
Yeah, it's a process. It's because our people are used to one way, but we're trying to get them to, if we rely on ourselves first, that actually makes us stronger. And a lot of the easy stuff we wouldn't have to worry about no more, like the instance that the lady had. If we were more neighborly, then a lot of that stuff would even happen.
So how much time do you end up, you know, just as a leader of Imani? You put in a lot of time every week, don't you?
I see you around here
all the time. I don't think you're living here. But
My majority of the... of the time that I spend is help building up the community. I'll probably be in the Dominican Center just, you know, to do the make sure the paperwork is right. But I like just being out there. I call in the field, be on my bike, making up a lot of ground and passing out the flyers, meeting and greeting. And so it's like it's really not a day off, because when I leave here, it's like even though I'm a resident, but I'm also responsible, and I look at it that way. I take my job kind of serious.
Well, that's good. That's
I don't say
good.
That kind of, but I'm serious.
So, but people need to understand that being a leader of a community organization, that's not a 1 hour a week kind of thing.
Oh, no.
It's not 24 hours.
It ain't 24 hours, you know, but it's close to it.
But you're out there, you're a representative of Imani, even if you're just, you know, walking to the corner store.
Correct.
I gotcha. Yep. If people want to know more about what it's like to be a community leader or what Imani is doing, is there any way to get in touch with you, Brother Rice Bay, or with Imani?
Well, the best way to get in tune with Imani is you can reach us through Facebook, Imani United. We'll have some more media outlets for you.
So the Facebook is A-M-A-N-I United, Imani United on Facebook, and there's only one that I know of.
That's the only one that I know of. Just click the like button.
And click the like button and, you know, put on the message thing. If you've got a question for Brother Rice Bay, he'll get the message.
I get the message, and I show enough... got something to tell.
Exactly. If you're in Milwaukee, you know, they're meeting every first Saturday on Locust Avenue.
This has been Wade's World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. As the song goes, we say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week when we have another guest, this is Wade Rathke from Wade's World. Thank you.
This program is produced by WAMF 90.3 FM in New Orleans, Louisiana, and distributed by Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, a grassroots effort to produce public radio news and information serving the needs of low and moderate income working Americans by providing a platform for voices not commonly heard in mainstream media. For more information, please visit our website at affiliatedmediamovement.org.